Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 121 of the Xbox All Gamers podcast. This week, I'm joined by Char.
Hi.
And Keo.
Welcome, everyone.
This week, we got a bit of news about Embracer Group. No more layoffs at this point, but they've definitely got some changes going on over there. There's a new ID at Xbox event happening coming up, and we've been playing a couple of video games. But I guess we should probably get into our question that we got from our good friend and semi-permanent guest host. It's from Alex. It's from Professor Pluto. As always, we do the show live on Twitch. Xbox Hall of Gamers is the place to find us. So if you want to come say hi, hang out in the chat. We've got Legacy here at the moment. We love all the fan interaction, and we'll endeavor to answer your questions as you ask them. But this first question that we got here is from Alex, who says, what's the best use of licensed music in video games? Mad World and Gears of War 3 for me, he says. Now, Alex obviously is a big fan of Gears of War, at least the early ones. I tend to agree. I think it's kind of funny because, well, it's kind of sad. The dreams of which I'm... No, I'm going to get a copyright strike if I do that.
I'll mute you.
Yeah, thank you. So it's a big part. There's a part of Gears of War 3 where they bring in the sad version of Mad World because it's a sad scene. But that game got associated with Mad World so much because of the original ad campaign that they did for it. And then the game tonally was completely different. Like it was a much more rock and roll kind of fuck things up and cut things in half with a chainsaw instead of like the more melancholy kind of. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's weird, but it is funny that they've kind of brought it back and made it part of the game itself as opposed to just their marketing campaign. I don't know. Does anything spring to mind for you guys in terms of like licensed music in games?
There's one that everyone should name.
Mm.
Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think across the board, that whole soundtrack was amazing.
They just
do it so well.
Yeah, they're really, really good. It's funny, actually, I was on Spotify, and Spotify has a GTA playlist that Spotify made.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, cool. I love GTA music. And I went, it's like 100 songs, and I had 98 of them already in my playlist. And I was like, oh, this is where my music taste came from. And it suddenly all makes sense, is that I played these games way too young and listened to all these fucking radio songs.
The Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you also have stuff like that too, where you have like your sports and kind of those kinds of games. Like EA was always good for that.
I grew up on SingStar, so like,
sure. Yeah,
yeah, it's a different story though.
Guitar Hero is kind of the same thing, right? Like the games that like where music is the thing.
Like that's their whole game is around the music.
But the Burnout series has also always been very good with its music, like Burnout 3 and
and
Paradise. Like when we were playing through Paradise and back in February, the soundtrack is fantastic. My only problem with it is that it just weren't enough songs. You just kind of hear too many repeats, but that's kind of, you know, you're playing a game for 60 to 100 hours. It's one of the downsides, but you can just put Spotify on the Xbox now at least, which is nice. But
yeah, I do like the subtle remixing of the theme for Burnout that appeared in that game. It was really, really good.
Yeah. They spent a lot of money to get Paradise City for the intro for that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did just find an article that has the article says is the top 5 games with licensed music, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we could go through that and just see what we think.
Sure, what do we got?
So in there, number 5 is Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, totally agree, actually. Yep. Both the latest one they did and also even the Telltale version had some great songs in it. I've had Shambhala stuck in my head for ages when I played that, like Three Dog Night.
Mm.
My question about that is, did they do like what the songs from the movies or did they pick new songs for the game?
They picked basically new songs. Like there's actually a, if you go on Spotify, there is a Guardians of the Galaxy like playlist.
Mm.
But you've got things like Everybody Wants to Rule the World. You've got Tainted Love. You've got Love It Loud by Kiss. You've got Take On Me. Like a lot of that. You've got Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Like there's like all sorts of classics. I mean, they even have Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley, and there is one of the first ones.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's all very much like hair metal, kind of like that 80s vibe, which I fucking love, 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I think I found that the original Gran Turismo, well, Gran Turismo 2, I discovered Kasabian
Oh,
that
yes.
Oh,
way. That
yeah.
was, I really like Kasabian after that. It was
Yeah,
really good.
Kasabian's amazing.
Racing games are real smart with that, because like
Yes.
they realize you're gonna like, I'm sorry, Cameron, but racing games are boring as fuck. You drive around a lot of the same tracks over and over again doing the same thing. So they got to keep it interesting by like having,
And they
first of all,
do it
having cool
with
cars, having
music.
cool sound effects, and then some sweet fucking music.
Back in the day, I downloaded the entire series of Need for Speed soundtracks and put them in my car,
Hell
and
yeah.
it was just 9-inch nails tacked onto the end because I had room on the disc because it
Sure.
was an MP3 car player.
Yep.
And then the Need for Speed Underground 2 soundtrack and all the others. So it was really great.
Yeah,
So,
Underground 2 and the original Most Wanted had just fucking great soundtracks back in those days, yeah. And especially
yes.
because they were playing on a PS2, so they had like real fucking, that sound chip was cool for the time.
The next game on the list, game the number four, is Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which we've already mentioned.
Grand Theft Auto Vice City, I will just say, like, has maybe one of the best musical intros in the game, basically, of you watch the intro cutscene, you get in the car, and the very first thing that starts playing is I believe it's
Billie
Billie
Jean.
Jean
Yep.
by Michael Jackson. And it's not in the remaster because they couldn't afford to license it again, but it's so perfect.
They make note of the fact that when you're driving around in the middle of the rainstorm, it's Africa by Toto playing.
There's
Yeah.
some great
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. I definitely love playing Vice City. I should play that again. Third place, they have Indigo Prophecy.
I
Yeah.
complete.
Indigo Prophecy is Fahrenheit. Yeah, Fahrenheit is the
Fahrenheit
other
is
name
the
for it.
other name
So,
for it. Yeah.
yeah, outside of North
Good old
America.
David Cage's weird fucking super interesting idea but terrible execution game. That was the one that made him really famous.
And then second place, Matt should be able to pick this one
Is it Saints
because
Row?
no, it's not surprisingly, although
Oh.
that's a good shout. It's Max Payne 2, The Fall of Max Payne.
Yes, I mean Max Payne has always had really, really good music in all of them. Three has got some great tracks in it too.
I never played two, actually.
I'm really looking forward to listen, I don't know if they said remasters, remakes is kind of somewhere in between. They're spending a lot of time making them, so I'm curious what comes out. But yeah, those will be, yeah, I'm hoping that they still have some great fucking music in them.
Yeah. And then number one is Red Dead Redemption.
Okay, yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of Red Dead, but the song, like that song when you're going across into Mexico, is top tier.
Yeah.
It's top tier. I have a look in the chat. I think
Yeah, what did they say in our Discord?
yeah, I don't want to miss it. Cameron says I don't want to miss a thing in Saints Row
That was
four.
really good.
Saints Row three and four had some really, really good ones. Because I think four had like some Bonnie Tyler in there, and man, there was a whole, well, because the first thing, yeah, don't want to miss the thing is like
Let's
right at the
slap.
beginning of four. And then I think halfway through they had, oh, and then of course they had Opposites Attract, because they do the sing along for it.
Oh yeah, they do in the
Yes, they
game.
do. They do.
Yes.
Yeah. They, because they've got the different soundtracks as well. So there's the Gen X one, which has things like Howl, Beware of the Darkness, Papa Roach Still Swinging, the Datsun System Overload, that kind of thing. And then they had the Mad Decent, which was DJ Riff Raff, and that had like Diplo songs,
It's
Boogie
really
Bounce by
funny. It's
GTA,
really
like.
funny how they do kind of like they want to do like the GTA radio stuff, but also have a
Yeah,
slightly different take on it.
I just play around with it, and then they had the classics one, which had like Come and Sweet Number One, La Donna El Mobile from Rigoletto, and then you've also got 420, which had things like Pressure Drop, History of Jamaica, Milk and Honey. You never get away.
Like it's real, it's really
There's
smart.
so
Like
much.
like I said with driving games, like the open world GTA kind of genre is perfect for that, right? Because it makes perfect sense. You have a radio in your car, and so they just basically were like, yeah, we'll do funny ads and then we'll do great fucking music and you'll just hear it a lot.
It's so good, especially when you can like use your own, like use the radio and stuff like that and choose what you want, and then to have like songs that you know and be like, I'm actually gonna like the amount of times I sang along with songs while playing Saints Row 4.
I did boosting even with Todd doing the co-op. Well, I did the co-op with Todd, and he just couldn't shut up with the music in Saints Row 2 even, and I'm like, this music
Amazing.
is trash, but it still like fits the
But that's
mood. It's
so
great.
good,
There's an achievement.
though.
There's an
It
achievement for your
fits
character
it.
singing in Saints Row 2 as well, right? I think it's like soprano or whatever, and it's for I think it's if you play Take On Me, I think, or something, and it just.
The Tomb Raider Underworld soundtrack
Oh
was
yeah.
so good.
Oh, I
I had
haven't
to
got
look
that
it
in a
up,
while.
and there's actually like a web page for it. It was Mozart's Lacrimosa, just like a classical piece. It was just like the ruins of the of her mansion, basically in like a flyover cut scene with ashes and stuff like that. So that was the feels, I think, with that trailer. So I also joke that Party Up by DMX in Pimp My
In
Ride,
My Ride.
the Ghost
Oh
Ride the
man.
Whip. So
I
yeah, that
forgot
was so good.
about that fucking mini game. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, that's licensed music is kind of an interesting one in video games because you don't hear it a huge amount, but it's always very noticeable when you do because a lot of like especially when it's like not in a contemporary setting and they kind of like I mean like Saints Row is a good example, right? Where it's
Or
like
remixes.
you're on a rocket and like trying to climb on it while it's going to destroy the earth or whatever and fucking I don't want to miss a thing so it's playing in the background and oh man. I'm suddenly what is it? Was it Total Eclipse of the Heart in Battlefield 3, I think it was, like during the chase scene and this was like the long time ago. Battlefield 3 basically there was a part right at the beginning when you're in the car and you're driving trying to get away from the whoever's attacking you, I don't even know at this point. And you crash the car and they like it flips over, falls into the water and starts sinking. And then just on the radio you just hear Bonnie Tyler just blaring. They're like, I'm gonna die to this song. I'm gonna die listening to Total Eclipse of the Heart. Oh man, yeah. I'm very curious to see kind of, you know, like actually Saints Row 6, sorry, GTA 6 and the new Saints Row. I don't know what the music's going to be in those. And I haven't played the latest Saints Row, so Neon in chat's like, yeah, exactly. When you're doing like grinding or kick flipping in Tony Hawk, yeah, like the skateboarding games also like great soundtracks. I remember playing like was the original like
It's a
It
very
was,
90s thing, right?
oh, hell
Licensed
yeah.
music ga
Yeah.
games.
Stuff like Ace of
Almost like there was just a
Spades and yeah.
you also get like
phase of
stuff like
it.
System of a Down and things like that, which was really cool.
Actually, talking of who is it? Back on the PS1, they released Duke Nukem Land of the Babes. And the intro to that had like a heavy artist that I got into after that. Was it actually it was wasn't System of a Down, it was I don't even know. I have to look it up. Land of the Babes soundtrack, I guess. Let's see.
I remember playing
What is that song?
there was a game which was called Skateboarding on the PS1. It was like it was just called Skate, which is so weird to think about. And it, like I just remember like I had it was it had Sugar by System of a Down in there. And it had OPM's Heaven is a Halfpipe, which is just such a like a early 2000s classic. Brutal Legend. Yeah, Brutal Legend is I should have thought of Brutal Legend. It's like that
Like
game.
one of my favorites. When I first played Brutal Legend, it was when I was using one of my ex's PlayStations, because we had a PlayStation 3 that we kind of shared. But I like made him buy this game just because I had to play it, because one, Jack Black, is amazing. And two, it was like, this is amazing. I need this like rock game
Yeah,
just so I can run around with this amazing music going on. Like,
it's fucking all it, you know, like I hate to be a fucking zoomer, but like the like understanding the assignment in terms of games of like, yeah, we're gonna make a metal game that has like fucking demons and shit in it. They were like, Jack Black and Tim Schafer were like, nailed it. Like this is the
It was Push It by Static X. I got super into Static
oh
X after
hell
that. It
amazing.
was so good. Yeah.
Oh man. Oh yeah, Crazy Taxi also had a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, I don't think there's many in-game situations where the soundtracks actually really fire off, unless it really fits the theme. But yeah, I do find that a lot of the trailers and the like the
The trailers
FMV
really hook
videos
you,
and
usually, right?
Probably be remiss if we didn't mention Borderlands as well. Obviously, they're like their intro hooks with
Oh,
the music stuff. They,
totally.
I mean, that like it got me listening to the heavy after all. So, you know,
True.
oh man, yeah. Actually, Tales of the Borderlands also had like one great like they do like an intro outro great song, and I still have Busy Earning on my playlist. It's so good. And Cameron also says Sanctuary from Kingdom Hearts 2. And I suppose Simple and Clean for Kingdom Hearts 1. And then I can't remember what they did for Kingdom Hearts 3. Was that the one they did with she did with Skrillex? Or
That
I
yeah they yes I haven't played Kingdom Hearts 3 yet, so but yeah, you're right,
it
I'm
was
pretty
that was
sure.
an interesting one. I was I was like I was fine. Like it's been long enough that I was like, yeah, it's fine. But
I love Cage the
Cage the
Ain't No
Elephant.
Rest for the Wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cage of the Elephant one. Cage the
Yeah, it's
Elephant.
a great song.
Yeah, it's so good.
All right. Well, thank you for the question, Alex. Got us
Memories.
reminiscing about. Yeah, I'm gonna have to start putting some playlists together and you know, reliving it when I was young and hopeful. But let's get into the news. Kia, what have you found for us this week?
Yeah, so found I've gone through and found a whole bunch of stuff this week. Some of it Xbox is doing a new ID at Xbox through the IGN. Well, basically IGN are doing a new consumer show that kind of replaces the weekend of E3. Essentially, it runs from like the 7th to the 9th of June.
Oh, right.
And
They didn't want to let it have Keighley or the have all the
Oh wait,
airspace.
is it June or April? April, June. Well, am I even getting that right?
Well, no, because I know that like Keighley's going to do Summer Games Fest, but I know that IGN I think are doing some sort of event at the end of the month.
I think it's I've for whatever reason in the notes I put June, but I'm pretty sure it's just they're doing partnerships basically with IGN to do the showcases at least for this next one that's on April 29th. So I put the right down the wrong month. So basically it's looking at epic trailers, fresh gameplay, new reveals, top details for like Dungeons of Hinneberg, 33 Immortals, Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, new Power World Vampire Survivors updates. But then they're also looking at some stuff like Sea of Stars and Texas Chainsaw Massacre as
Yeah, well, that's they like those were
That's the
kind of
stuff that
some
they did
they
last.
did
That's the
last
kind
year,
of
which was
stuff they
kind of
did
the big
last year.
surprises, like Sea of Stars,
So,
especially. So
yeah.
hopefully, we see some really, really good
Yeah.
stuff.
So, along those lines, people are hoping, once again, like always, Hollow Knight Silksong, maybe.
That's the yeah. It's
So,
I'm telling you right now, it's not happening. There's no way you show off Silksong before June or what the June Summer Showcase or whatever. Like, I am curious to see a bit more of 33 Immortals though. You know, that'll be a great community game.
So there's going to be a few more things with IGN, I think, coming up now. That's for most of the platforms, like Ubisoft is doing a thing and all that kind of stuff related to
Well,
all of that
we're
as well.
going into
So
a relatively quiet May, it kind of looks like, in terms of releases. Like, there's not a huge amount on the horizon that I'm like, oh, goal. Yeah, that's a big one. Outside of Hellblade, right? But that's kind of it, I think.
It's quiet on all fronts. Like, there's a lot of stuff releasing, but it's kind of like there's not a lot of buzz at the moment for the stuff that is releasing. Moving on to Embracer, they are splitting into three publicly listed companies. The choices of names are interesting. So you have Asmodee Group. They'll split up in the next 12 months and deal with the trading card and tabletop games. Hmm. They own stuff like Ticket to Ride and things like that. Coffee Stain and Friends. So they'll split up in 2025 and deal with the Indian AA side of stuff, which will be free to play in for PC and paid AAA games for PC, console, and mobile.
Hmm.
Then there's also Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. So they're leaving this one kind of as it is. It's going to be listed without change, but they're doing the AAA stuff, including Lord of the Rings and Tomb Raider. Which will also house stuff like THQ and stuff like that, if they can push the THQ stuff into
AAA curious.
After Saints Row, right? So
yeah, right. Well, yeah. Well, Volition's gone, right? Like, I wonder how many of these, they kind of say what studios are going where, right? So like the Middle Earth one is getting like Tripwire and Vertigo and Warhorse and 4A, yes, so the guys who do Metro and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I'm wondering, like, how many of those are still around? Like, how many of those really...
True.
As this kind of goes forward, you know, it just means they're going to be cutting from three different places as opposed to one, I guess. But I guess if you're looking for outside investment, having three different companies where they can say, well, hey, you know, they want to invest in one and not the others. Like the Coffee Stain one is probably the most interesting because it probably has the most IP and...
Yeah, yeah. There's over 900 IP across the whole Embracer Group.
That's crazy.
And that's card games, AA, AAA, indie, like all of those things. So it's, I guess you've got three companies, you've got three ways to liquidize your assets down the line.
Yeah, if you have someone who says, actually, I'm mostly interested
things fall
in...
off.
I'm interested in the card and board side of things because it's kind of low cost. $300, you know, Ticket to Ride, Catan.
Yes, yeah.
Exploding Kittens. It's okay, popular. That's interesting.
Mm. They do all,
I was like, I'm very curious, like on the financial side, what that's going to do to their debt in terms of like splitting out and who's going to owe what and what they're going to be trying to pay back and scrounge. And where the money's going to be made, because like that Coffee Stain studio has like relatively big games in it, but I don't know if they're like huge enough money. Again, I don't know, like we don't know the insides and outs of their financials, but it's very curious to see what they're going to do there.
Yeah, well, they've got Kingdom Come Deliverance coming up for the AAA side of things.
True.
So, I mean, was the first game that wasn't considered AAA?
I wouldn't say AAA, right? I think it's kind of right on the line.
So in terms of like what it brings to the table, it can definitely be a AAA if they really polish it out. So,
people are very excited. They just showed the trailer for the second game and people are very, very excited for it.
Yeah.
The first game was the kind of game that you play for, but you're like, this is fucking cool. I'm never going to have the time to really invest into this because that game, you want to talk about like Dark Souls being punishing. Kingdom Come Deliverance is, it's rough. Well, it can be rough depending on like, it's very much like, hey, you start this game as like a dude who doesn't know how to swing a sword. So you better fucking learn how to do that if you want to survive.
Mm. Does it make you happy that Neverwinter will continue though?
No. And I actually just saw an update on TA that they just released their latest patch.
I saw that. Two achievements or something.
Yeah. One for finishing the dungeon, one for finishing the campaign. I am so behind on that game.
Yeah, but you're at the point where like,
I really
going to be able to catch up, though?
I'd really have to dedicate a lot of time and to catch up on it, and I just do not want to be honest.
I think it's one of those situations where it's kind of like you're at the point where you should probably just cut your losses.
I'm thinking I'm just going to have to accept that.
I think it's been enough time now.
Well, my VIP is nearly over, so I don't think I'm going to renew it.
Yeah, it's a Gems of War situation there, so.
Yeah, at what point do you call a game and say, no, this is it?
When they say that they're going under and that they have to shut it down is usually the point. Thanks, Kitty. Greatly appreciate you getting me into that fucking trash fire. Anyway, not bitter or anything.
No one's bitter. Who's bitter here?
What else we got, Kia?
All right. So, the MetaQuest VR headset. There's an Meta opened up the Horizon operating system to third party companies recently, and it's enabled Microsoft to develop like an Xbox cloud gaming experience for the system.
Fucking smart.
So yeah, totally. Along with this,
Yep.
Microsoft have partnered with Meta to create an Xbox Inside MetaQuest headset. The headset will take on a green and black color scheme and be sold alongside an Xbox controller. What do you have in for thoughts on this one?
Will my computer be able to run? Well, actually, MetaQuests are self. You don't need
It's
a computer
all
for it, right? It's all.
contained completely separately. Like it's a basically you can just roll around with the headset
Gotcha.
and
The
use it.
quests are the one that allow you to, yeah, right. And it's Oculus that I think you need to have plugged in. Interesting. Okay.
So the current one is the MetaQuest 3.
Hmm.
I know the MetaQuest 2 is while a lot more popular because of accessibility, and the cost price would have went down a lot since
Yeah.
the assuming, just people offloading their headsets for the third one. Not that I've looked into that because I'm not really a Meta or a, not geared towards that branding, but it'd be very interesting to see what they can do with cloud with that one.
It's probably a pretty smart play, right? Like we've talked about how Xbox definitely are trying to not necessarily do their own thing all the time, but partner with others to kind of work on a lot of the stuff. Because there's also a bunch of other headsets that have been announced. I think Lenovo is doing one, and I think Asus as well.
It's really good. That technology being opened up is just going to hopefully blow open, that VR subset. So, yeah, it's like it's not going to be playing in VR so much as you can use it as a screen, as far as I'm aware, but we don't really have any details for it. And I've used like the PSVR headset, right? And there's three screen size modes in that. There's like small and it's diff at a distance, and you've got like the black around you. You've got the medium, which is kind of like the nice ground. That's for like movies and stuff, right? So anything that sits exists on the 2D plane. And then you've got the huge one, which is a lot bigger, and you have to look left and right to even do anything with it. And it is not sustainable to kind of like exist in that zone. So yeah, so you always just kind of stick with the medium one. So I am assuming it will just be you can choose your size of screen, and you can play Game Pass kind of as it is. So
Because it does sound like that Xbox doesn't really have any interest in the VR space, quote unquote, in terms of like making those games or funding them. I mean, Sony's kind of already been down that track and then kind of abandoned it twice now, so.
And it's good that they can kind of get like a meta one going, because when Lenovo and that start bringing out their versions, it's going to be easier to onboard that stuff onto the cheaper headsets as well, I think. So, because they'll be a lot more consumer priced, I think.
I mean, like if it's a decent price, maybe I'll pick one up just for the novelty of it. I know that they, what were the Meta Quests going for at the moment? They were actually somewhat affordable as opposed to your standard VR, like HTC Vive and all that kind of
Yeah, I don't
stuff.
know. Yeah, I
Yeah,
don't
might just
actually
check
know
it
MetaQuest
out.
pricing.
Yeah, Meta Quest 3 is about it's about 900 bucks, yeah, which is probably about right. For
That's okay.
128
I
gig.
mean,
For
If
that's
you were buying, sorry, I guess I'll just finish my thought. If you were buying a Meta, if you had the option between a MetaQuest and the PSVR 2, you'd 100% go for the MetaQuest over something that's not even properly being supported for the same price.
Yeah, although apparently
So.
they're looking at bringing the PSVR 2 to be PC compatible as well. There's some talk around that, which I think makes sense because I think the VR market on the PlayStation is quite limited.
Do either of you guys have a like experience with the VR stuff?
Not particularly. I mean, I did just build my PC, but even then, I don't think it would be super great to run VR stuff. Like, it might do okay, but I don't know. Like the cost and barrier to entry has just been so high for so long, and even with the like improvements and the changes that they've made with like Oculus and HTC Vive and all that kind of stuff, there's also just not enough software to justify spending that kind of money.
Nothing at all, Char. Yeah.
I have tested out someone else's.
That's enough.
My yeah my fl so my flatmate borrowed it temporarily, and we all
Yeah.
like just played around with it for a second. And so we like there was like a demo installed on it for like Jurassic Park, and you got to like basically have like 10 minutes of this video kind of playing, and it's all around. And you just look at this dinosaur, and like it has like a
Nice. Yeah.
nest and stuff, and then like it does the tail swing, and it like turns around and like gets its head right in your eyes, and you're just like, okay, this is pretty cool. And then like because I knew about my space, I was very conscious about like personal space around me. But when when my other flatmate Tori put it on and was doing the exact same video as the rest of us, there was a moment where Tori almost fell over backwards because of the way that she was bending backwards to look at this
That's
dinosaur.
great.
And we kind of had to like try and almost catch her. But it was quite fun. Like, I can see why people would enjoy it. I just don't know that I would spend the money on it on a novelty. But it is
I
cool. It's a novelty.
the first experience I had was at for my birthday one year, we went to one of those just little places where you can go and pay and you spend like an hour with the VR headsets. And one of the first things that I tried was it was like an under ocean scenario where there's you're standing on like a pirate ship or something, and this huge whale kind of comes down and then it swims down and it's right in front of you. And even for VR, like back when it was close to release, for a lot of the popular stuff, the eye on the whale just looked so real that you just it's like you were staring into its soul and it was staring back. It's a really weird experience with something like that.
Super impressive, yeah.
But yeah, I fall in love with all of the under the ocean stuff, so I was kind of like in it anyway. So I'm like, yeah, this is cool.
I can
So
definitely I it would it's something I'd like to do again, but I wouldn't spend money to have it for myself at home. Like I'd go somewhere to do it, not a like it wouldn't be I wouldn't do it often.
It would be nice if there was an option for them to implement like a full VR experience with some of the shooters and stuff that kind of pop up in Game Pass, like just like a toggle on or off VR. So like the old what was it, the one that came with Batman Arkham Asylum,
Oh yeah, we're doing the
and
dancing and stuff.
like Firehawk had the Green Lantern glasses that came with it that you could,
Oh yes. Oh, that's funny. It
see
makes
it
me
in
think
3D.
of again my back in my PlayStation days. A Little Big Planet when
Oh,
they
yeah.
Little Big Planet 3, and then they brought out like a completely whole game just on Sackboy, and it was all with the PlayStation camera and the Move controller, and that whole thing was just around like you got to control Sackboy with the Move controller and things like that. And then like they had the Harry Potter Wonder Book thing for a little
Oh
while,
yeah.
but again that's before like before the screens. It was just with the camera and your little
It's like the AR stuff, yeah.
the little wand tool thing. And I because I originally had the camera and the like the weird pet game that you could get because it came with the camera, and I could not even sell that game when I didn't want it anymore because people were like, oh okay, why do I want a pet game?
Oh, that's
Like
so
it
funny.
was like a Tamagotchi, but you could like
They
pet it
had
and stuff.
iPet, which was just the one, that one, and then there was Invisimals, which was like a PS Vita AR
And
kind
then
of
they did
thing as well.
Connectimals for the Xbox, so
Oh, there you
yeah.
go.
So like it's
And then
definitely
Milo,
something
no.
people like.
Now they didn't do my, Peter Molyneux's lies.
Imagine if Cameron was here, he'd be like, Bluey! Give me VR Bluey.
I have I'll be vague on this, but I saw a TikTok video about Bluey that someone was very excited about Bluey that I'll send to you guys. It's very funny.
Cool.
All right.
Nice.
Let's move on. What do
Yeah.
you think?
So GameIndustry.biz got to visit the solar-powered developer offices dubbed Barn X, which is the fifth one that has been created by Microsoft for like their development studios, specifically Rare. I guess they were set up in four different houses kind of before. And it's all about sustainability and stuff like that. So this one has been built to house the projects that are in active development and brings all the teams together in one space to
Cool.
collaborate where needed on each project. It fits 85 employees, which the other barns would normally house half of that. And every staff member has a view and can gain access to the outside, which is, you know, nice.
Cool.
Go outside for a bit. Other features include the condensed water of the chillers being reused to flush toilets and spaces to accommodate neurodiversity, like quiet spaces, focus areas, and the places where you can turn off sounds and noises. So,
That's very cool.
yeah. Do you have any thoughts on the sustainability efforts?
I mean, I hope they make better games because of it. You know, like I think that like it's nice when developers get treated like human beings.
Yes.
Especially because it's such a thankless fucking job and it pays like shit and they get worked crazy hours. So I'm hoping that this kind of, you know, the fact that like, hey, you can look outside and go outside. It's like, okay, I mean, good. That's good. Like,
I love the fact that there's like sensory rooms and things like that. That's very cool because like it's an interesting one with neurodiversity because it's becoming more and more mainstream. And I think that's partially because people are finding it is easier to talk about it without the stigma at the moment. And it's like it's the new thing, right? And I find it really interesting because my sibling went through it when it was very, there was a lot of stigma around it, and they had a really bad childhood because of being diagnosed with ADHD as a kid going through high school and things like that. So they have a different, like almost a completely different lens on it than I do, because I am only like 2 years into my diagnosis, and there's still not really anything at work. There's no like neurodiversity network, there's no like support systems or like quiet, like we've got quiet rooms, but they're quiet meeting rooms, right? But like the fact that this is being put in place in a building for people who probably are hugely neurodivergent, like I mean,
And
let's
if you're going
face
to
it,
work in the
most
games
creatives are,
industry, chance, yeah, there's
like there's a chance they probably have
overrepresented by far.
yes. But like the fact that it's becoming more mainstream to be able to talk about it and be open about it is very cool. I like that. But I don't want it to then become like a thing that people just go, "Oh yeah, okay." You know? And then be like, "Oh, well, then they can be more flexible with their hours so they could do more this and that." And like don't then become a, "Hey, they have these rooms in this space so they can work extra."
Yeah,
Or
that's
like,
that.
you know? Yeah, there's a line, and hopefully they kind of stick to it, but there's that crunch mentality that still sticks around in the business. And so like this is cool, but like is that sustainable in terms of like reducing stress and reducing crunch and that kind of thing?
And so many
Because that's a
people,
huge problem.
so many people go by being undiagnosed, and don't even realize, and like places
Even
like
getting
this,
the
if it,
diagnosis is just, yeah, like the wait list at the moment, and this is just New Zealand, the wait time to get a diagnosis, even to just get the initial appointment, right, is somewhere between 6 months to a year. And that is just from like contacting one of the many psychologists around that can do it, and then they'll put you on a waiting list. And then the next thing is that it doesn't just take one appointment, it's multiple. So it can cost up to like 1,000, 1,500 just to get a diagnosis and medication. So like no wonder people aren't going through that process because they can't afford it. But like the fact that they've provided these spaces, that's actually a good step in the right direction, because even that is better than nothing, right?
Well, next step is that they need like some of those medical professionals in their barns so that
Yeah,
they
bring them
can
into the button. Just have it like a psych evaluation.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's
That's a whole different story.
I mean, hey, it's part of the signing bonus is that they'll tell you how
we'll give you
spicy
your,
you are.
Like, you know, we'll do a full radar test for you.
I highly recommend going through and having a read of the article if no one's listening to it.
Yes,
it's a really interesting breakdown of kind of like what they're doing at Rare. Because Rare have about 200 people working for them, so it's like it's not a small team, right? And they can't all be working on Sea of Thieves, right? They got to be doing some other stuff.
Hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. They were saying stuff about locking away different sections of the old barns to hide if they were having unreleased projects and all that kind of stuff that they didn't want to talk about and all that stuff. It reminds me of the boss faction, whatever it's called, the business in Watch Dogs 2, where they set up that whole playground-like building that you had to infiltrate. And it was like a Google mistake.
Yeah, like it was
that.
The Google campus, basically. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Had the slide and everything, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Mm. Yeah.
All right, what's next?
All right, so a little bit of light news, just a bit of notes from Reddit, essentially. I don't troll through Reddit myself, but I picked this up. On a Reddit AMA, so Ask Me Anything, Ubisoft indicated that there were no plans for Assassin's Creed Mirage DLC, but Bazim might return for another standalone adventure. They love the reception of the game and love creating it, creating a more close-knit experience, but it was also difficult to do more constrained gameplay, but the team would love to explore new horizons and creative freedom. So
I hope that means, hey, we do another small, contained, standalone experience and not the next Assassin's Creed will be Bassim-based, but also 300 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's the wrong lesson, you know?
Yeah. Did you play, you've obviously played Mirage, but did you play, is it the last main one that
he's in Valhalla?
In?
Yeah, I have not played
he's
Valhalla.
He's in Valhalla.
He's at the beginning of Valhalla, yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting if they do more things like that with side characters or if they can implement.
Yeah, and that seems like a fun character. And like, I enjoyed Mirage for the most part. Like it was a bit rough around the edges, but I think the idea of going back to old Assassin's Creed is good.
Yeah, spoiler for what I've been playing. I started it like 2 hours ago.
Oh,
so,
right.
Yeah, through Ubisoft Plus. So,
I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. Yeah.
Okay, moving on to another Ubisoft game. So, a recent update for Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. There's a new 40 FPS mode that just got released for Series X, PS5.
Weird.
Which is another... I guess developer taking advantage of what seems to be some kind of middle ground for frame rates. Notable improvements. Fix some crashes, but also add fast travel to the research station Alpha.
Oh yeah, surprisingly, didn't already have that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Other games that include 40 FPS modes, things like Fallout 4. I don't know if that already existed or if that's in the new update.
I think they already existed because the new update is the 4K stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Liza P, Hogwarts Legacy, Plague Tale Requiem, and a variety of PlayStation exclusives like Spider-Man and Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, which Ratchet and Clank was the one that originally went, oh, we're putting in a 40 FPS mode. And everyone's like, why would you have a 40 FPS mode in a game? And stuff like that.
It is a bit of a weird thing when you think about like the standard between 30 and 60.
Yeah.
But I guess you just want to squeeze a little more out of it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and I guess if people want to be able to, like, if people can't do the 60 and want a little bit more than, I don't know.
Because the thing is, when you bump something up to 60, you usually have to lose fidelity to do it so that the game doesn't look as good.
Which I get.
I don't give a shit about it. Like, I will play a game at 60, 120, like anything to get the frame rate higher. I'll play I don't mind it being a bit muddy.
Yeah.
But. You know, it doesn't look good in trailers, and some people really, really like the visual. I mean, like stuff like Ratchet and Clank looks really, really good, to be fair.
Yeah.
So I can kind of like there is a real emphasis on visuals and particle effects and stuff like that that use up a lot of processing power.
Yeah. Well, I play on a 1440p monitor.
The difference.
So,
right.
There must be something there. Just taking out those 20 frames, right? So, I mean, we've seen things go up to 120 and then go back to 60 and then back to 30. I mean, 40 is almost like an excuse to not be 30.
Yeah. I mean, like 60 yeah, should be the standard, like, but.
It's like putting the price to like $50 instead of $59.99. Like,
yeah, it is kind of,
yeah,
it's a bit odd. But there may be some technical reasons for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
but
surely. Yeah, I'm curious to know if I would notice the difference because I just play games. I don't think about the frame rate. So, like.
If you see them next to each other, it's like night and day. But I get what you mean when you're just kind of in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just play the game for the game. So if, like, I don't think that I would really notice. Unless someone actually showed me the difference between 30, 40, and 60. Like, I don't think that I would actually notice the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do watch movies at a very much lower frame rate because the Plex just can't handle going to a slightly higher
frame rate. Well, that's
just,
that's like the fidelity on the, yeah, anyway, that's, yeah.
That's a whole different thing. But, like, I play those at, like, what was I watching the other day? I had to drop it really, really low. So it was like on 320 or something.
That's awful. That's okay. All right. I'm going to be sick.
Fair. I mostly had it for background noise, so it was fine. Mm. But like, I don't know that I'd want that for my games.
No.
All right. So we have Cameron's inclusion for the news this week. So he was excited about the cool X-Men 97 comic design has popped up as a giveaway. Mm. Now that Disney Plus has pushed out the continuation of the classic X-Men 97 animated TV show. It features an exclusive two-page comic of Cyclops and the X-Men fighting Sentinel and Master Mold, which I don't know. And there's also some X-Men themed Design Lab controllers, which get kind of paired up with the consoles as a...
They're fucking
away,
cool. Like, they're very, very 90s. Yeah. Like,
it is very cool, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the competition goes until 19th of May, and you just have to retweet their tweets on Twitter for that one and be eligible as part of the country and have an over 18 account and stuff like that. If you are watching the stream, I've kind of set that as my background so you can kind of see, get a glimpse of the console itself. So, and the controllers in the background too, so you can see maybe a couple. So... other than that, probably the last thing is really just going on from fixing achievements from last week. Essentially, Aspyro finally fixed the unobtainable in Star Wars Battlefront 2, the remaster, Marshall Commander achievement. So this is just for obtaining all the other achievements. All you have to do is update the game. Your achievement should unlock if you have everything else. But now people might be motivated a little bit to actually play the game because
I was thinking about it. I was seriously considering it.
I thought you might, just like Tomb Raider last week. It's right. As soon as it's fixed,
you're like,
and it goes
ooh,
on sale like this week. Exactly. You're like, maybe I will.
Maybe now's the time. So, I think it's only like a 20 to 25 hour completion as well. Like it's grinding,
bad.
But
yeah, I think there's a couple of grindy things. So
you're getting close to finishing MCC.
I do need something new to play. So maybe that's the one. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, and that's pretty much it for the news that I picked out. So,
all right. Thank you, Kia. Now, as our listeners and viewers will know, we do a theme each month, a themed event where we try and get people to play games based on a sort of fun theme that we come up with. So this month's theme has been 360 games. Considering the store is shutting down and the world is ending, we've been kind of trying to push to get a few done.
Yeah.
We've had a few interesting completions in there. I got Diablo 3 finally done this week. And I finished up Worms, and I want to try and maybe get one or two more done before the end of the month. We'll see how it goes. But the tricky bit is obviously that if they're not complete, they're not complete for a reason. I've been challenged to complete Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate - HD, I think it was. Whatever.
Dark Zero.
Whatever that, yeah, and I'm not playing Perfect Dark Zero. Fuck that game. But yes, I'm gonna. Yeah, so Shane Firehawk has finished it recently, so I have been challenged to do it. I managed to beat the first boss on Boss Rush, and then got my ass handed to me by the second one. So there's 9 bosses. Got to do them all in one go. So yep. I got a lot of making up to do, And it's been a very long time since I played the game, so I'm gonna have to repractice a lot of it, but I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try. I do have a couple of other ones in the backlog that I'm like, oh, I might do like Super Time Force, and I've got like Moon
Yep.
Divers and a few other bits and pieces that I'm just like, I need to spend some time on this and just finish them up. But
Mm.
we do have a new theme since we're this will be the last podcast of April. So our theme for May is Get to Work. And so the idea there is we want games where you're working a job, you're doing a job. You're doing like a chore or a job, like you're an employee. I want to see some good debate as to I want to see some justification of people trying to, say, hey, this is a job, and us telling you, no, that is not a job. Final Fantasy does not count as a job for the most part. But I'd be very curious to see what kind of suggestions people have.
This will be a fun
Well, I mean,
one.
they have job systems, right?
They do, yes, just because it's called a job system doesn't mean you're actually a job.
I mean, like, yeah, because like if we throw out some examples,
Yeah.
I originally my first instinct was The Big Con.
Okay.
You're pulling a job.
Yeah, well, that's no,
There you
that's
go.
different. That's no.
Yeah.
If
Well,
anything, that's
Tony
the
Boy robs a
opposite. That's
bank.
stealing. That's literal stealing from people who
Yeah.
do have jobs. That's not how that works.
It's like, well, what about L.A. Noire or Ghostbusters?
LA, yep,
Yeah.
sure. LA Noir, 100%. Cops, cops, definitely. That's definitely a job. Yep.
Yeah.
I'll take one that's not on Game Pass then, and I'll finish off Darkseid Detectives 2.
That's a good, yeah.
Oh,
Dark Side
yeah.
Detectives is a great. It's a
Yeah,
great
yeah.
example. Cameron came up with this idea. So he was thinking things like moving out and stuff like that, and Power Wash Simulator.
What's the game where you're an intern and it's kind of like a dating sim? It's not The Big Con. There's another. You know the one I'm thinking of, right? It was in Game Pass. It's not in Game Pass
Boyfriend Dungeon?
anymore. No.
Going
Maybe it was on
Under?
Game Pass. Yes.
Going Under,
Yeah.
which the those people just released their new game this week, actually, into Game Pass.
Yeah, there we
Well,
go.
Coffee Talk and Coffee Talk 2 would fit into
Yep,
that.
those are good
Yes.
examples. Yep,
Yep.
absolutely. You work at a coffee
I
shop.
have
That makes
both of them
sense.
installed, ready to go.
There you go.
So,
I'm really going to have to think this one through and come up with some games, actually, because.
Well, I don't think Devil May Cry's on Game Pass, but I mean Dante's famous quote, "Time to go to work, guys." You
Yeah,
know,
but to
he's
be
kind
fair,
of
like
working.
I think I might draw the line at self-employed because I'm
All
like,
right,
come on,
all
like
right.
that's like if you're a freelancer, that doesn't count. Like you got to be working for you got to be gainfully employed. Like that
See,
man
if I
fights demons
hadn't
for a living.
already suggested Control.
Control? Well,
That no, yes, because Jessie
nah,
works
no,
for them.
she does not. She
She has the job.
no, she does not. Well,
She
okay, she.
has the
I mean, not till the end of the game, but this doesn't count.
uniform.
And also, she's the director, so she's not actually
Yep.
working. That doesn't count.
True.
He's
Okay,
the
fair.
boss. That's yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well, I believe you can play Power Wash Simulator by cloud. So it's going to
Okay.
be my
Yep.
going to bed, lying in
And on
bed,
PC.
looking up at my phone hanging over me, clipped,
I would
playing.
say you
As
get
long as it doesn't
your
fall
meta
on your face,
quest
you'll be
three out. No,
fine.
I have. I think I've spoken about this before. I've got one of those phone
Like.
clips that have the key light on them that also have a phone clip, and I've rigged it above my bed, so I'm lying in bed and I look up and it's just the phone's hanging over my head to completely freeze my hands.
Sure.
And so I can grab the controller, or I can play, or I can reach up and do whatever I want with
This
it.
is.
I can watch movies or, whatever I want. So
You're
I
like
just
two
put on
steps
the.
away from those chairs and Wally. I'm just telling you right now, man. Like just
Like.
never look away from the screen.
Yeah, the difference is bed is for bed, right? So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
wake up in the morning, I'm out of bed straight away. There's no hanging around. So. So, because it's time to go to work.
There you go. Exactly.
True. Yep.
Exactly. Because we're
Yep.
all productive members of the capitalist society.
Gross.
But thank you, Cameron. It was a great suggestion. So I'm very curious to see what people say and what ideas people come up with and what bullshit they try to get past us this time.
Try to
Yep.
pass off as being an actual game
Yeah,
for it.
definitely string your bullshit
Please
through that whole
tell
channel,
us.
and we want to
We'll
know what you
take
can
it.
bring. So, or not take it.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm trying to.
Yeah,
We're
we'll
gonna
call you out.
exactly. No, we'll put it before the panel and see what they say. We've also got a few new Game Pass updates. So we had Eidos Chronicles 100 Heroes, which just came out into Game Pass, which is the sort of Suikoden spiritual successor. Very curious to see The response has been okay to it, I think. I don't think anyone's finished on TA yet. It's what, like it's a relatively meaty RPG, and the achievements have some missables in them, I think, because like you need to get all the heroes and some of them are missable. So I'm hoping someone puts a really good guide together or walkthrough, because I would really like to play that. Another Crab's Treasure from the Going Under guys, which is a Souls-like where you play as a crab, but apparently it has some accessibility stuff. I was tempted to jump on it, but I want to kind of wait to make sure it's completable before I delve too deep. But I am excited because I do need a new kind of project. Mana Lords also just came out today, which looks great. It's in game preview on PC only, but it is kind of that sort of top-down Total War style game. So, but there's a lot of buzz around it. Have a Nice Death, I don't know a lot about. It's coming out April 30th.
And if you want to honor the great Yoshitake Murayama, which was the creator of the Suikoden and Yuden Chronicle, it's basically his swan song before he passed away recently. That would be a
I think
a nice one to jump on.
The team really just got on board and just tried to finish that off.
I really enjoyed the prequel that they did, the side little side scroller that they put together on Game Pass a couple of years ago. To sort of as the sort of prequel to the game. And then in terms of things leaving, 7 Days to Die, Besieged, Loot River, NHL 22, Pikaniku, and Ravenlock. You don't have a lot of time. You've only got about a few more days before they go. So I would recommend Ravenlock and Pikaniku at least. Loot River also, we're seeing a few people trying that out. It's not as difficult as it looks. The ratio is really, really heavily inflated.
Yeah, and a note about 7 Days to Die, there's a new version of it coming, I believe. So they're basically, this is like the legacy version. So if you don't have that, you won't have that. I don't think it's still listed.
Not yet, but they are going to delist it, I think, when the new one comes out.
That's their plan,
I
think, too, right?
Yeah, the achievements could very well be the same list.
I get the feeling they'll do a new list, but with the same achievements or similar.
I've heard some rumblings that it could be the same list, but I'm not quite sure.
Curious to see how that goes.
All
right. Well, let's get into what we've been playing. I will go first. So like I mentioned, I played Castlevania, Mirror of Fate. Did not get very far with it. I'm really going to have to relearn my chops for that because those boss fights are tough. I haven't really played a huge... I've been playing some trash just to kind of boost my gamer score up. I'm very close to my next milestone. I'm about 2,500 away, so I'm going to try and get that over the weekend. And then the last, I'll mention this for the last time, but I have one achievement left in Halo Master Chief Collection. I am nearly done with it. I was hoping to get it done today. So the last two I had left was the annual and the Deja Vu achievements, which require four people to do the last levels on 3 and ODST. I managed to get Sly and Mike and Devin together to do annual. We had a great time, quote unquote, with all the lag and bullshit and falling off. It took way longer than I thought it would, but it was still just as fun as it was back in 2009. So that was really, really cool. But I need to do Deja Vu, so I'm going to try and get that done tomorrow, and then I will be done with the collection. It's taken me just over a month to do.
Which one is that?
Deja Vu, it's the coastal highway level at the end of ODST, but you can't use the Warthog. Yeah, they have to go on foot or use the mongoose. So,
fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Like I think we'll be okay. But you got to have four people. It's got to be on legendary, and you have to have the iron skull on. So if anyone dies, you're back to the checkpoint.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. I'm not too worried about it. It's just kind of getting people. I need to find Mike already has it, so I'm trying to find a fourth person for it. But if not,
be able to download it. Maybe, yeah.
Or you can put it on cloud, either way.
Oh, cloud. I mean, yeah, if I want to kill the frame rate even.
Yeah, true. Also true, yeah. So
the game does not run well.
No, it does not. It really does not run well. But yeah, I've been knee-deep in Halo. So I haven't had time for a lot of other stuff, but now that I'll be done with it, I'm going to try and play some new games. I also have kind of been getting back into Tales of Arise. So I just beat the kind of second main boss. I don't know how long the game is. The game opens with like, hey, there are five different areas and different elements. I'm like, okay, so five main bosses and probably like a sixth final boss. So that's kind of what I'm going for. So, but it feels weird that I've just beaten the second one and I'm only about 10 hours in. And I'm like, okay, is this a short game or is there going to be some bullshit? I don't know.
I
Or
feel
is
like
it,
there'll be bullshit.
I get the feeling maybe it has like a big end game. I know that Tales of Vesperia definitely did. And it went in, it had like acts. Like there was, the game was much bigger than I thought it was going to be. So I'm enjoying it, but it hasn't like hooked me like some of the other RPGs have, which is why it's kind of taken me like a month to kind of get back to it. But now that I have a bit more free time, I probably will play a bit more of it. But I am on the lookout for my next big project, so we'll see how it goes. All right, who wants to go next? Who, what do you got to play? Because that's all I've got.
Sure. Did you want to go through some of your stuff?
I have actually been playing games again, funnily enough.
Woo.
So I have completed a couple of games since the last time I was on the podcast. So I jumped on and finished Botany Manor.
Our game's
Absolutely
great.
loved it. It's beautiful. Like, the music's lovely. The visuals are pretty, it runs really smoothly, and I'm gonna do the stack 100%. Like, I'm just waiting for the I've just gotta wait till I can do it on the Xbox. I've been mildly obsessed with a completely different game, so I'll get there. I also completed the first of the two Darkside Detective games. I want more people to play these games. They're so amazing. Like, they're so stupid and like funny and really just dumb humor, and like they know exactly what they're doing with their games. It's all like very 80s, 90s detective point and click amazingness. But you basically are a detective that works with supernatural things from the dark side. So that's the whole premise, and you have a buddy cop, and you go through the whole game just solving, like, I think there's nine cases in total, and there's a couple of different little like miscellaneous achievements around as well. So it's quite handy to at least have a guide around to work through those ones. But it's pretty straightforward. If you went through and just did everything and clicked everything and played with everything, you would end up just getting all of the things. And so you run through with your buddy cop, and then at the end of the game, your buddy cop goes missing. And then that leads into the very next game, which literally starts at the very next day,
Oh, cool.
essentially. Like, you basically, your buddy goes missing, and then you're like, oh, now I'm at my buddy's house investigating where he went and where's my friend. So I've started the second one. So I need to go back to that and jump on that. When I've got a bit of free time from uni, I'll probably do that.
The characters made a cameo appearance in Coffee Talk 2, I think.
Amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't recognize them straight away, but
That
eventually I was like,
is,
oh shit, okay, I kind of put two
I
and two
feel
together
like
eventually.
I need to go and play Coffee Talk 2 again
I
just to
think I might
grind
have
that
to,
out.
yeah,
Yeah,
check
because
that
they're
out now.
it's because Darkside Detective is kind of like lo-fi art style, right? Whereas they said so they get it's really cool to see
It's all
them like
pixel.
it's all pixel art, so they get rendered in that kind of Coffee Talk style, which is really, really cool.
Very cool. Okay. I didn't notice that, so that's something I'm gonna have to go and look up. But I highly recommend both of them. They're not difficult games, but they are very fun. And I know that Matt is going to love the jokes in it. I think Keo, you'll love the story, and just wandering through, and the art style is very cool. It's all pixel art, basically.
Nice.
And it starts off with all the cases in a computer file. So you just go through each one, and it lets you just go through them. Very, very nice little games. Then I also started Cocoon, which I am, I
Good.
think, 60% of the way through. I was mostly doing most of the puzzles on my own with just a guide to work out where the elders were, because I was very conscious of the fact that I did not want to have to play through the whole game a second time, because I'm finding that is the most frustrating thing that I'm having with playing games at the moment, is getting through the game and being like, yes, I really enjoyed that, and then be like, fuck, I have to play it all again, and just not wanting to do anything of the sort. It actually is almost why I almost didn't get the very last achievement on Chants of Sinnar, because I thought that I had to play through like half the game to get back to this one area, but actually it was way easier than that. And I'm very thankful for Matt just being like, hey, you know, you can just go and go to the door. And I went, oh, okay.
Happy to help.
It was so simple in the end, but so there's two parts in that game, which it's a beautiful game. Matt's already previously talked about it, but I, being a linguistics major at university and a language nerd, loved it because it's all about language. And I was like, okay, so I'm gonna use my like linguistics knowledge and put this to the and like work things out that way and be like, okay, there must be patterns in the languages that match up and like. And I even found it difficult because they didn't quite match up how I would have expected them to, but they did follow mostly the same logic as if you were like backtracking from a language point of view. So I quite liked that. And then it turns out that the last achievement was just ringing the doorbell 3 times.
Yeah.
I thought, so my brain was like, so there's these like alarm bell things. They're like halfway through the game, and you have to ring them in a certain order for you to go to the next stage of the game. And I thought it was that. I thought I had to do that 3 times. No. That's not what it was. You just ring the doorbell on the monastery 3 times. And as soon as I found that out, I was like, oh, okay.
Just annoy the
Wow.
guy at the door for a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, all things considered, there was nothing that I would have missed while playing that, and I did have like I had a walkthrough to make sure that I wasn't missing any like achievements that way, but I mostly did it all on my own and I loved it. It was really good. The visuals are stunning. Like I really like playing those games that are just, you know, that they're going to be indie, so you like you go into them without your expectations being super high, right? But it was beautiful. Like the art was so pretty, the music was lovely. The fact that I got to go through and do puzzles, I'm like, yes, this is my thing. I love puzzle games. So like more of those games, I'll happily just play those games. Like I love puzzle games.
I highly recommend that game to anyone who's
Yeah.
interested in puzzles or languages or anything in between.
And it's on Game
It's
Pass,
yeah,
so
it would be so good if it was on Game Pass, but it's
it's
not.
not? Oh, I thought it was. Okay, no, never
No,
mind.
it
Ignore
would be a
me.
great Game Pass get, to be honest. But I recommend if it goes on sale, pick it up immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. Buy it. Like,
Yeah,
it's so good.
it was
Like,
on my Game of the Year list for sure.
and then that leads me into my big puzzle game, which I'm gonna call it a giant puzzle game because it pretty much is. It's just sci-fi puzzles.
It's a Metroidvania, yeah.
Pretty much. Jedi Fallen Order,
Yes.
which I've been meaning to go back to for ages. So like this is I started this because I love Star Wars and Sith and like the fact that I can change my lightsaber all the time and I have this amazing BD-1 robot that's just the best droid ever. Like hands down, no one can convince me
He's
otherwise.
great.
BD-1 is number one. I'm loving it again. I'm mostly like fully addicted to it at this stage, to the point where like I've been trying to play a game with Matt all week and been like, no, I want to play Jedi Fallen Order. I
Yeah,
know
Chas
we've
is the
got this.
worst co-op partner. It's just like trying to
I'm
organize time is
sorry.
just impossible.
I just want to play Fallen Order,
I mean, I
and I
get it.
have
Fallen Order is
ADHD.
fucking
Just.
great.
And and because now I'm like, okay, I've got Map Genie and I have my map of each of the different worlds and I could just sit there and go through and get all the collectibles. Because originally I stopped playing because I was overwhelmed with just trying to work out how to get them all. And there's just so many collectibles and it's insane. So when I realized that there's a map on Map Genie and I already have my year subscription to that, I was like, amazing. Okay, this is gonna solve that issue. So I then was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to the woods I've already been to. I'm gonna go through and just clean up those worlds and get them to like 100% as much as I can. And there was a point where I was like, okay, I can't do this. Is this because I'm missing an ability? And I checked with Matt and was like, wait, why can't I grab this thing? And then I realized, okay, I need to progress with the story. So then I was like, I'm gonna go and finish a bit more of the story. Which then meant that I had all of like the forward and back zip line, the double jump, and all of that thing. And then I was like, okay, now I feel like I can go back. And I cleaned up three of the worlds, and now I'm back into the story again and cleaning up as I go, and it's so much better. Like, I almost kind of wish that when I'd started the game, I had that little backup just so that I could work out where things were. Because now I'm doing the newest world which I'm on is Dothamir. Dothamir? Yeah,
Dathomir, yeah.
Dathomir. And I love the story behind the fact that it's all of the witches from the dark side and the Night Brothers and the witches and things. And like, it's great because now I can sit and do it. I've got the map open, but I'm not using it. I'm kind of just playing it through and going in different areas and just making sure that I'm getting things as I see them. But I'm actually more immersed in the story now because of it. It's just almost like a companion.
Right,
Like
nice.
when you want to drive somewhere and you have Google Maps up just because you're like, I just need the companion. You don't need it anymore because you know where you're going, but it's nice to just have the map there. And that is making it better.
The nice
Yeah,
thing about the
nice.
game is that there aren't really any missables for the most part.
No.
Like, it's thankfully you can go back and explore a
You
lot of
can go
stuff.
back to the different worlds and get everything. And even the miscellaneous achievements, which I'm working through, you can go back and get them all. The only weird ones are like the one that's going to be the hardest one, I think, is the kick one. And that's because I'm struggling to kick because he then tries to use the lightsaber when I go to do the kick. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You
Might
have
need to
to
bump the
only
difficulty
kick,
up. Yeah.
because it's because that achievement is you have to kill them by only kicking them. And if you don't press it quite right, he doesn't like evade backwards and then kick, he will lightsaber. And you're like, oh God, can he not do that? Because you've just fucked it up again. And he'll do like two kicks and then he'll lightsaber and you're like, God damn it.
Fun fact with the with that game, I found on Audible the other day. I was
Oh,
just looking
yes.
because I had some credit. There's like a middle game that a book that goes between the first and the second
Oh,
game.
really?
Yeah, so it was on sale, and I normally just pick up the stuff that's related just to video game stories of things. So I've got like the Star Wars Force Unleashed novels or whatever on Audible and shit like that. But this one, it's like Star Wars Jedi Battle Scars, and it turns
Oh,
out
okay.
it's like a it turns out to be like a love story or something like that, but it bridges the two
Oh, it's
games.
between the two games. Yeah, right. Okay.
That's very
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, so if you're interested in a little bit extra, I grabbed it this week because it was just on sale and I was just like, whatever, but
I'll
it's
have to
probably
get
not
your
on sale
thoughts
anymore,
later.
but yeah, so
I
but
mean,
I
yeah.
haven't played the games yet, so
The second game has quite a big time skip, and like you start that game in a very different situation than you end the first game. So it is really cool to see that they kind of filled it in a little bit.
Yeah, I actually might go and look into that because my plan is to play the second one. Like, as soon as I finish the first one, I'm going to jump into the second one. I've already decided that that's what I'm doing. I just have one big gripe with Fallen Order. The maps and the fact that I can't fast travel.
Yeah, the
That
maps
fucks
suck and
me off
the
so
fast travel, yeah.
badly.
They
There should be something to be able to fast travel between locations because there are so many times where I've gotten stuck and been like, how the fuck do I get out of this? Like, I got stuck in the tomb once because I could not work out. I felt like both my exits were blocked. I got stuck on Zepho in one spot and was like, what the fuck's going on? And I've seen conversations of people getting like soft locked because they got into a situation where they didn't have the ability and they could not get out of where they were. I've realized now that you can just go and quit the game and it'll bring you back to the last save point, which is kind of that's handy, but also doesn't necessarily resolve issues. Especially if you're still stuck in the bottom of the tomb.
they fixed it in the second game for sure. They added
Cool.
fast travel and they kind of
Good.
added a few more quality of life things. But
Okay,
yeah,
nice.
the first
Yeah,
game definitely is, yeah, you can tell.
and it's a small gripe, but the maps are confusing as hell. And even with Map Genie, it like gives you a little bit of an indication where things are, but I've still had to go and look it up on a different site. And there's some walkthrough sites that are better than others. Some are just confusing and don't actually help you find things. But when you, like, it's the force echoes and things like that, because I'm trying to, I've now decided that regardless of the achievements, I need to collect everything. I want all of the bits of lore. I want every single archive record. I want every single enemy record. I want everything now. So this is going to end up being like Control, where although you didn't need to collect everything, I did. Because I felt like I needed to have, I wanted everything and I read everything. And even now I'm like, I don't normally play with game sound because I usually will play with like a TV show going and then playing a game. But I have actually taken to having my, because I have remote play, so I set that up and I have my TV show going, but I will have just the volume of the game up enough that I can then hear when he reads out the archive records. And that's just been enough that I can like pick up on things. And I go back and read them all the time and look at things. It's, there's just so much to this game. It's amazing. And it's still on. It's still on Game
EA Play?
Pass. AI Play.
Which is,
And Survivor
in-game
just got
pass.
added this week to EA Play as well.
Like today, actually, I think.
So I definitely recommend it. Like,
Hell yeah.
I don't get that into games very often, but the fact that I have been jumping into Fallen Order so often in the last like 2 weeks is, yeah, it's saying something.
For sure.
And you were so excited when you finished that boss the other day.
Oh, holy shit. I did end up having to look up some information on that boss because I was having so much trouble. So it's the seventh sister. Is it the
That's
one that's the really the fifth
this is the
sister?
big
Sorry,
one, yeah.
there's the ninth sister. Yeah. So it's the fifth sister and she's a tank. And I struggled to work out the timing. So I couldn't work out the timing of her attacks. And then I kept, because I am, when I game, I want to get up close and just attack, attack, attack. That's my whole thing. I don't like parrying, so I struggle with that. I would be terrible at Sekiro.
This game has a
I,
lot like this is a very light version of Sekiro in it, basically.
yes. Yeah. And like I have it playing on story mode and I still died several times. And then I looked up some information and they were like, okay, well, because I just got the double blade. So I was trying to use my double blade lightsaber because I was like, hey, this is freaking cool. Not realizing it had less power than the single
It's more for crowd
lightsaber.
control,
Yeah, I did not click that. And when I saw that, I was like, oh shit, okay. So I flicked back and then I had way more like it was way easier for me. And then I started like because each time it got me to like revive, I actually kept my points. So I managed to get myself up to enough that I could then increase a couple of things in my skills tree. And then I managed to evade, go in and attack, evade, go in and attack. And I think I had at that point 5 stim packs. And I managed to just do it in that one run once I got to that point. But I just, because of the way that I play, it's just not conducive to like, when I eventually do decide to go and play Elden Ring, I need something that I can
Yeah,
just go in and
that'll
like
be
fucking
interesting. I can't wait to
whack
see
the
that stream.
shit out of something, like, because that's how I play. I want to go in and just attack. When I attack like all of the stormtroopers, I just go in and whack them with my
Well, that's
lightsaber
what
like
they're
this.
there for.
My option by default is if it has fisticuffs, just to go in with your
Yes,
fists, I'm in. So that's
So
it.
like any games, I just want to get in there and attack. Like it's a wonder that I play a D&D where I play like a wizard where I have to stay back and like use my skills to like attack from a distance. I'm not good at that when I play video games. I want to just get in there and punch shit and
Hell
like
yeah.
no parry, just punch. Give me one of those games and I'll be completely happy. I get more annoyed with the fact that they then stop me from like attacking them with my lightsaber, even though I know I should parry or evade. I'm like, no, let me attack. I just want to whack you with my stick. Let me just kill you with
They
my
really need to bring
stabby
back
nightstick.
the Force Unleashed series because I think you'd really enjoy those.
Yeah,
Because
probably
that's like
would.
Sith power fantasy dialed up to 11 is
Can you
so
tell
fucking
that
cool.
I am a Sith at heart? But
Yeah,
like, this
exactly.
is
Actually, I think that might be backwards compatible, so maybe they're worth giving a look.
We should have a
I
look.
think so. I think so. Yep.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing. I also hit 250 games played.
Oh, nice
Oh,
work.
nice.
Yeah. And I'm slowly creeping up to the 220 mark. I'm not going to hit my 300,000 gamer score this year, but that is okay. I have time. I should hopefully at least get to halfway there before the end of the year.
Sweet.
I reckon. Yeah.
All
What have you
right.
been playing, Keo?
Well, to start off, we're just touching on Diablo 4 with the boys, which is our weekly thing. So Todd jumped on board this week. He's in the chat now. We ended up with four players. We got nearly to the end of the second act, I believe, with that one.
Yeah, I think
So
you've got
that
like
was a,
one more fight to do or
yeah,
something.
really, really good session, I think, with that one. So yeah. But yeah, not much more to say with that. We're kind of just making some progress. I went ahead and basically smashed through the Crew Motorfest. So I touched a couple of weeks
Nice.
ago that I had done the multiplayer stuff without realizing that there was the Destruction Derby mode, which is the only achievement I
Yes.
have left. I've
Yep.
got three achievements and then just like 30 challenges. So I smashed it out in like a day and a half, just chilling. And I can't find a match.
Okay, you need to change your region.
Oh, really?
Yep. So I could not find a match in Australia, the Australian region at all. You've got to
Okay,
change it to the
cool.
US. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. So US and I'll find it instantly. Right,
Yep.
yeah. So, well, by the end of the night, I'll have the Crew Motorfest finished, maybe. So
Woohoo!
we'll see. But yeah, probably tomorrow because I've got to do those 30 challenges. Yeah, so overall, the game's really, really good, just completely disconnected in the way that I just don't think it holds up to the first crew still. Like, one of the problems I'm finding is that you're going through these playlists, and the playlists throw you in different types of cars, obviously, to get you just trying a whole bunch of different stuff. And then they give you a car at the end of the playlist, but you're not even playing with your own stuff. If you don't own those cars, you're not playing with them. Everything's on loan. When the whole thing with the first game was that you had a car of each type. You go through and you do everything you need to do, and you're just upgrading those cars, and then they're your cars, and yes, you're kind of playing with what you want. So, I did do, because I had to do six playlists, the last three after the main stage one. So I just burned through the first three, and then I was kind of choosing a few different ones. I did the movie scenes one. It's
Oh,
basically
okay.
played out like do seven levels. You play action scenes like in a movie, and they kind of throw a few things at you, like the stuntman game and stuff like that. And you had to do races and different tracks. The thing I didn't like about that is there was a really two really slow levels where they basically showed you a screenshot of like a left turn or a right turn on a road. And it's like, oh, as you get up to this road, there's an arrow on the picture. You had to turn left or right at the right spot. And I'm like, oh, this is a drag. This is
Ugh.
so,
Right.
so boring. And it was just some build up for some love scene thing. And then at the end of that, they showed you the video of the trailer for the movie. But then I was playing like just like a black female character, because I was watching switching around the different character models that I was doing as I was kind of going, and that's what I landed on. And it showed me as a guy, a black guy in the movie trailer. So I don't know
What
if
the fuck? Yeah.
It's so weird. It's completely disconnected from what you're actually playing. They just showed you a generic movie
They just
trailer
show
with
you
this
some shit that
guy.
they shot. Here's
Exactly.
something we shot earlier.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. And throughout the whole movie storyline, they as you were doing the levels, it was a guy as well. And
Weird.
it's like
All
you're
right.
obviously playing a female character. I didn't start as a male character. I was just, you know, and because when you select your character, you just go through and choose like a head model that you want to be. So
Basically.
it's not even connected to a gender, which is good, but it's just like, you know, it disconnected from the
What
experience.
was the playlists you liked the most?
I played the Hypercars one.
Hypercars was fucking sweet,
It's
yeah.
so sick. The final car that you end on, I can't even remember the name of it now, but you end up with that car at the end. Was it's just the best sounding car. And I changed it. It actually suggests during the playlist to go into first person mode. So you can kind of just experience and just appreciate the dashboard in the car. But once I did that with the hypercars, the game played so much better. So it was the ones with the open tops played really good, because I play in first person, like in rally games and all that kind of stuff as well. I always say that. And the game just feels really good. Like any other first person cockpit view in a car game, if the dashboard and but the distance between the dashboard and the roof is a millimeter, you have no fun with it. You can't see the road at all. So it's just not good. But yeah, so but I did really like switching between, like, you just go really fast in a car and then just switch to a plane and you're going really fast in the air, you know, straight off the bat. It was just instant changing, which is something that the Lego 2K Drive game is doing really, really well as well. So just that little switch up kind of makes things really nice. So I made sure to go through and get the plane as fast as I could. So, but other than that, the game's fine. I hope they don't make the Motorfist a series, like a spin-off series to it. So, but
we'll I don't know, considering how successful Horizon's been, I get the feeling that's...
Yeah, and Motorfest has been pretty successful. You look at the leaderboards and stuff like that in the game, and there's a lot of people playing the game, like, just consistently. So it's very popular. So, yeah. So also, my 360 game, basically my one for the week, going back to the theme of the month, is Destiny on 360.
Right.
Yeah, so... Yesterday, Todd had a day off because it was Anzac Day on the Thursday here, and we were just sitting there for an hour, just going, "Oh, what do we play?" You know, we start a new co-op game. We're not in the middle of anything, and I don't really want to do grindy multiplayer bullshit right now. So we looked at a couple of things, but stuff like It Takes Two and even Wolfenstein Youngblood, of all things, was just like 44 gigs.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I started downloading one of them and I'm like, oh, let's just go over 360 for Destiny. And we had the best 360 Destiny session we've had so far.
Wow.
We came back to it once or twice because I had to go out and do some stuff. But the end game stuff in that game is just really nice to play. You're sitting at level 40 and Todd's getting up to level 40. He's like level 39 something and whatever. And he's starting. I think he might have hit level 40. Maybe he might be close. And then you just start doing endgame content with two people. Because I've been stuck on a couple of quests in the game because I needed multiple people to play it. Because you just can't pull off enough power to kill something in time. If it's timed and the enemy disappears or whatever in the open world. So it was good to get in there and just spend a good chunk of time helping him get his levels up and smashing that out. So we'll go back to that a little bit more now, I think, and we'll try and get him up to date with all the missions and get as much done before we can do the raid stuff, which I know Cameron wants to go back and do. So it might be a little bit of incentive.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about that. That fucking raid will be super interesting.
Love to see Todd and Cameron both in a raid with who knows what other TA people will find to go along with that. So that'll be interesting. But the last thing that I've kind of been playing is Assassin's Creed Mirage. As I said, I started like 2 hours ago. So I jumped in. It's got a really nice... I like what they're doing with the intro for Assassin's Creed, where they're doing the Marvel thing, where they're kind of throwing everything, every Assassin's Creed game, like up on like a gold and black kind of like montage.
Yep.
It's really nice because they've got that Ubisoft Assassin's Creed hub thing that they kind of want to do. Infinity or whatever it's called. I don't know. Whenever they set that up properly.
I'm still not 100% sure what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah. Because they changed all the logos in the game's artwork, like on people's dashboards and stuff like that, if they bought the games previously. So and they're all gold and black now too, so maybe they're lining things up. But the gameplay's fine. It is kind of really nice to have the classic Assassin's Creed feeling, but I have not really played any of the new ones, the open world ones. I haven't seen them yet, so I don't know what they're like. But the last one I played was Black Flag, and I did that both copies, the 360 and the one version, at the same time. So dealt with a lot of water, and it's good to kind of just, you know, have something really simple. So I'll hopefully get a little bit more of that done. So basically renewed my Ubisoft Plus just to kind of smash out a couple of those big games now, because I spent the month doing mostly Trials. Started Scott Pilgrim and yeah, just DLC and stuff
It
like
sounds
that,
like you're
and then
getting
the
pretty good
crew,
value for money on that one, at least.
I think, at least, yeah, considering basically just doing all the DLC I didn't buy originally. And yeah, so I'm trying to download Far Cry 6, but there must be some weird thing because it's in Game Pass. It says play with Ubisoft Plus. I go to Ubisoft Plus to play and install, but it goes to the sign up for Ubisoft Plus menu instead of downloading the game. So if I can download the game, I'm through Game Pass, I might be able to just
Just play it.
go in, manage games, download the DLC or whatever.
Got
So
it, yeah.
I'll do all the DLC as well.
If
But
that doesn't work, try it from the in-game menu.
I should at least be able to get the normal version downloaded. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So I'm good on that. So
Sweet. Nice. I'll quickly go through our leaderboards. In third place, we have Thrash Forever with 18,264. We have a Grey Shark with 30,670. And we have Warlord Ethan with 50,356, which is the first time we've seen him for quite a while.
Yeah, right.
That's a crazy high score. So good job, everyone. Akio, do you want to go through completions?
For completions this week, so Rapture did Disney Speedstorm, Shadow Slide did Rainbow Six Vegas and Doom Arcade. Professor Pluto did Escape Academy the DLC. Lord Mudd did the Dead Island 2 DLC. Shane slash Firehawk did Pika Niku, which is leaving Game Pass, and Just Jake did Tony Hawk's American Wasteland. So very low completions. So
Rapture did a little bit of a write-up around Disney Speedstorm, which is quite interesting.
yes, which you can see on the Discord.
So make sure you go and check them out. We've also got the word challenge, everyone's favorite competition, where I pick a game, you go onto our Discord and you guess what the game is, and you win $20. So I've given away some clues. We're starting to get to the big ones now. So the first clue was this game. It has two games in the series. It has FMV. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean it's an FMV game. It just has FMV in it. It has a teen rating on the ESRB, so nothing too violent, but also nothing too kiddie. And the fourth clue, the new one, is this game has a "the" in the title somewhere. I'm not saying it doesn't necessarily start
Matt,
with yes.
is it The Witness?
It's not The Witness. It is not The Witness. The Witness does not have FMV, as far as I'm aware. Also, it doesn't have a sequel. Like, fuck. It's not The Witness 2. But yes, it has "the" in the title somewhere. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the first one. It could be somewhere else, like in like a colon "the" something. But yes, anyway. So get your guesses in. Next week, I'm basically going to give it away. So I want to see some really good guesses this week, because I've re this is a big clue. You got a nice narrow slice here. So good luck to everyone. And then we got the Patreon. Char, do you want to read those out?
Yes, I can. So our Patreon, as always, is Hall of Gamers on patreon.com. And our patrons currently are Lee Howard, Mike Mikhail KV, Natalinator, Mad Lefty, Admiral Awesome, Happy Moogles, Kung Fu Skills, Hack and Pwn, Cavalero 7, O Old Mate Clown, Mark B, McLovin Legend, Massage, and Left 4 Legacy, and McNulty. And we really appreciate your support. We couldn't do the show without you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. And that's pretty much going to bring us to the end of the show. As always, we do this show live on Twitch. Xbox Hall of Gamers is the place to find us. You can come hang out in the chat. We've got people like Todd and Legacy and Zach in the chat. So come say hi, hang out if the time makes sense for you. Otherwise, you can check out the VOD on Twitch for a little bit, and then you can listen to this as you probably are on your favorite audio listening platform. But I also put this up on YouTube. If you want to catch videos or go through the backlog on our YouTube channel, you'll find it pretty easy. We use the same branding everywhere. And that's pretty much us. What have we got to show? Keo, what have you got going on?
Unlike the podcast that has the same branding everywhere, I have at HDFG Play on YouTube, where you can find all my uploads and streams for YouTube and shorts for each stream I do. And also, I upload full unedited, mostly unedited versions of the streams that I do, mistakes and all, stuff like Resident Evil Zero that I'm doing at the moment, stuff like that, which you can catch my streams at Twitch, Twitch at Keo Live at Home. You can also see the notifications on Twitter, Keo Live at Home, and you can also see me on Instagram. Those shorts are up there as well on Instagram at Keo Live at Home. So I should really just condense that to at Keo Live at Home everywhere, except for YouTube.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Or take you know, Shadow's take example and go at Keo at YouTube and your mom's house. And
your mom's house, exactly. Yeah.
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 Keo Live at your parents. Yeah. Char, have you got anything you want to promote?
I'm another person that doesn't understand branding, but you know, whatever, I don't care. I've kind of got there now though, because like a lot of my things are actually coming together with the Char Has Many Names, but that's how you'll find me, is either Char Has Names on Xbox, the Char With Many Names is my art account on Instagram. I am on Twitter, but I don't remember my name over there, so people can find me there. But my Twitch is now changed to the Char With Many Names.
Oh, all right. So it's getting there. You're bringing the branding together.
I'm slowly connecting the dots.
Yeah.
It's all because of character limits and, you know, not being able to cohesively have names across the board. But usually it's a variation of the Char With Many Names now, because I have lots of them.
So you're bringing back the Twitch?
No. I've just changed it.
It's just there. Yeah.
Yeah. One day. I have decided that basically any extracurricular activity is out of my abilities while I'm still studying. But I have 2.5 years. If I can get through the next 5 papers, then maybe I will come back to streaming.
And I'm near mastering everything. True GMS, Xbox, and Discord. I don't do any streaming or anything, but Discord is the best place to find me, as always. That's been episode 121. We will catch you guys next week. See you later.
Peace out.